Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Wednesday, August 16th, 2023. Glad to have you along with us on a Wednesday hump day. Mr. Aaron Zommers, our wonderful, talented producer and engineer on the board. Todd's a little discombobulated. Well, you know what I need? I need some Dan Schaefer. I need to get recombobulated, Mr. Zommers. That's exactly what I need. Look at even... Is that recombobulation
there is
music?
A fifth dimension.
Yes, that's the theme for the recombobulation area. But it's like a minute long, so I'm not going to play the whole thing.
Yeah, for those on the stream, our camera's a little off there, but we look better, it seems like, today. Or the lighting. Well, it was. The closer you get to this camera, the better it looks for some reason. But anyway.
Yeah, it's a webcam, so it has a lot of automated adjustments going on in there. And if it doesn't see you right, then it doesn't work very well.
We were out of the studio, or I was out of the studio yesterday, up in beautiful Volk Field Military Base, National Air Guard Base up there in Juneau County. And I had the opportunity to talk to so many great folks in the military yesterday, including Brigadier General David May. We appreciate all of his help for letting us be there yesterday afternoon. And in particular, also to a great pilot and the Volk Field Director of Operations, Major Tyler Shaft Shaver. And I never found out, Mr. Zommers, the call sign, why his call sign is Shaft, but and that will remain a mystery. But a great guy. We appreciate him for letting us on the base yesterday. Had a great time up there. Also, an equally great show coming up today. After the 1:15 break, we have Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project joining us. And later on at 2:30, our friend Joe Garden, formerly of The Onion for a long time, now out in New York. A little segment we call Joe's Junk. He'll let us know what is on the eBay sales table for garage sales. And now joining us as our friend from Lake Wissota, our friend and colleague on Civic Media, the host of Up North News every morning from 6 until 8, the one, the only, the fantastic Patrick Kreitlow. Mr. Kreitlow, how are you?
Ooh. You know, the first thing I heard when I clicked on here was, you know, the closer I get to the camera, the better I look. And I thought, this guy's ready for TV after all. I was like, hey, look, yeah, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Well, clearly I can't get my IT stuff because I forgot to send you the link. So that's on me. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, I'm here, but you know, everybody can relate to this. It didn't happen in this particular instance, but yesterday I was running late for a meeting for a group I volunteer with, and we've all had this happen. You're late. You click on, in this case, it was Zoom. Yeah. And what is the box comes up? Installing updates.
Yes.
One moment.
Right?
Yeah.
Why updates now?
It always happens that way too.
Yes.
Never fails. Or this, I was on the way into the studio this morning. And you have to cross the train tracks on the other side of the Capitol on John Nolan. And of course, I was running a couple of minutes late, and then you run into a train. Well, I didn't run into the train, but
it's not as big by a train. As did Aaron review his construction crane story for you yesterday?
Yes, we heard about that.
So it's not that, but I mean, it's like something out of a bad driver's ed film. I expect to come around and like a stingray speedboat is there in the middle of the road or something like that.
Oh, well, but, such is life.
But no, there's always something that keeps us from getting to work on time. But here we are.
What's popping up in the beautiful Lake Wissota up there just north of Chippewa Falls?
I'm a little concerned about my pontoon because my pontoon was hijacked about an hour ago.
What? Are you serious?
By one Kristen Lyerly and her her boyfriend, partner, Craig. They were camping nearby at Lake Wissota State Park. And I offered it up ever want to get out of the campground and take the boat. And sure enough, this morning I get this text saying, was that a real offer? I said, yeah, you bet it. So, they just came out. And now apparently, Craig, has worked for a marine unit. And so he's got experience with boats, but I had to tell him where the shallow parts are of the lake and everything because he asked where the anchor is. And I had to tell him the story of how, well, I don't really ever use one. I just go up to the Mallard Resort and I come back and I rarely would have to put down anchor and stay in the water, but clearly they wanted to. Told him about the time that for Father's Day, when my girls were 17 and 19 or 18 and 20, for Father's Day, I opened up the box of the gift they got me and it's a boat anchor. And I'm like, girls, I already have a boat anchor. And they're like, no, you don't. Because apparently they borrowed the boat. They did put the anchor down. Then they came home and could not figure out why the boat was going so slow until suddenly it wasn't. And that's when the anchor line had snapped. So I have an anchor, pretty new, that they can use if they so choose.
Years and years ago, my grandfather and my grandmother on a boat, little tiny boat fishing on a lake, and someone forgot to attach the anchor rope to the boat. It was just threw the anchor in. Sure. The whole thing went in. The anchor and the rope. And yeah, that was good. It was gone.
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage of once you get people going on their boat stories. Yeah. You know, the one thing that's always true is that if you're trailering your boat and you're going to the boat launch, and if you have any issue whatsoever, it's guaranteed to be two old men sitting over to the side seeing you. And the day that you do it right, my wife and I will look at each other and we'll look around. There's no witnesses. No witnesses when we get the boat in just perfectly. But you know what? You're still on the boat, and that's always a good day.
Well, that's fantastic. About a minute left here, Pat. Trigby and I are going to talk a little bit about the indictment of Trump. There was a Wisconsin connection. Brian Shimmy mentioned in this. It seems like there's always a Wisconsin connection of Republicans in Wisconsin trying to deny people a fair vote.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, there's the Wisconsin references were plentiful in the Georgia indictment. And look, I don't think we're all done yet hearing about, you know, Ron Johnson and some of the others who had a role in this. So this is very much a case of if you're in Wisconsin, you stay tuned because you're going to get your box of popcorn. You're going to see some familiar names.
Always catch Pat every morning, 6 to 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network with Up North News. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you. We'll see you next Wednesday. All right. Take care. Stay tuned. Trigby Olson from the Lincoln Project is next. This is the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, August 16th, 2023, 15 now past the hour of 1 o'clock here in Wisconsin. Mr. Aaron Zomer is on the board. It's a little bit later than that across the sea, and our ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and a friend of ours, of course, a friend of mine, a Wisconsin native, spent a lot of time in the Republican Party, both in Wisconsin and nationally, and like me, for his own reasons, left the Republican Party and now works for the Lincoln Project. But he's on a trip, and so kindly is still joining us from overseas. Trigby, thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, absolutely, Todd. I wouldn't miss it. I told you, it's my favorite week professionally. I mean, my favorite hour of every week professionally. I could not do last week. I was at an undisclosed location with really bad internet, but mm-hmm. It sounds like Stuart filled in well.
He did.
I'm back in civilization in Riga.
All right. Riga, Latvia. Very good. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. And if you want to call in, we'll take some calls a little bit later for Trigby, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or could also text us on the app as well. Trigby, we were on location yesterday up in Volk Field, up in beautiful Juneau County, talking to Brigadier General David May, the Wisconsin Air National Guard, and other folks that keep our country safe and do such a great job. But as you know, when you're on a military base, that is a sacred place. You don't mix politics in the military. That's just a no-no. So we were respective.
Unless you're Tommy Tuberville.
Exactly. Unless you're Tommy Tuberville. So we were respectful yesterday and really didn't bring up a lot of politics. But as long as you brought that one up, because here's the interesting thing. I did ask, I said, General May, let's just take out, we're not going to talk politics for a second, but I acknowledge that Tommy Tuberville from Alabama is holding up in the United States Senate hundreds of military appointments across the military. And the focus is on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which now for the first time in history has three vacancies. But I asked General May if he'd be kind enough to talk about the impact. And he did. Without going into politics, he said, look, it's just, you can't debate it. It has a distinct impact all the way down the chain. And he was telling us of colonels and majors, people like that, their families are in limbo. Their kids don't know where to go to college because the transfers haven't been approved. I mean, this is wreaking havoc in our military.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's crazy. I mean, it's not serious. It really, really isn't serious. Okay. Like he's trying to make a point about the issue of abortion and whatever, but don't be doing that by impacting the United States military. That's not the kind of thing that serious people or serious countries do. And you know, maybe a little bit of it is, Todd, I've spent the last 3 weeks, you know, within 50 miles of the Russian border of the Baltics, where they actually have to be serious because they have Wagner mercenaries now sitting literally on the border. Yeah, what he's doing to these guys in the military, it's ridiculous. And to be honest, it's so antithetical to why guys like you and I became Republicans, and people who are still, you know, identifying as Republicans, ask yourself, like, did you join the Republican Party to be a part of a party with people like Tommy Tuberville, who are so unserious that they're not promoting people who are literally putting their lives on the line? I mean, three of the four branches don't have their most senior people because Tommy Tuberville is holding it up over social issues.
You worked, for people who don't know, aren't regular listeners, perhaps, Trigvi worked for a long time for former U.S. Senator, the late John McCain. Can you imagine, what do you think that late Senator McCain's reaction would be to this Tuberville incident if he were still with us?
So, you know, it's ironic that you asked me about that. So I was saying to my daughters, who are 14 and 12, I took them to the Museum of the Latvian Genocide today. There is a fantastic museum in downtown Riga dedicated to what Latvians went through to keep their statehood during the Soviet occupation. I was saying to them, the last time that I was in Riga, I was at that museum with McCain. I suspect, given what I saw, he would be incredibly disappointed with what we're seeing, because he understands that, you know, the world can be a very dangerous place, and it needs a strong America, not one where part of the electorate has just decided to give in to false grievance and not be serious about the challenges that we face.
Trigvi, deliberately, again, to stay away from politics while we were on a military base yesterday, I stayed away from talking about the latest Trump indictment. Apparently 41 counts now alone in Georgia, and also 18 of his supporters. It was incredible, and I watched it the night that it came out. I watched the coverage on CNN. And what really struck me, and I want to get your take on this, was this, for whatever reason, hit me the hardest, because you saw these two black women that were just simple, salt of the earth, wonderful people, poll workers, who just were public servants. And the president, the sitting president of the United States at the time, went after these two poll. This could have been any poll worker in River Falls or Richland Center or Shawano or wherever else across Wisconsin. And this guy goes after him. I mean, we all have, those of us who left, we have our own reasons for leaving the Republican Party. Mine was specifically over these issues of trying to take a proper vote away from fellow Americans. And this indictment, more than others, hit me personally. You?
I think this is the one that's the easiest for people to sort of wrap their arms around, because there is the tape of him asking the Secretary of State for, you know, 1,000 more votes, right? Like, this one is, and people can relate because, you know, they all understand how obvious that, like, not right that behavior is. I think that's easier than classified documents. Most people haven't ever handled classified documents, so haven't had security clearances. So that's, you know, what they know is from the movies or Tom Clancy novels, whatever. You know, the coup, it's so outside the realm of people's imagination that we would have that. That doesn't happen in the U.S. But this is the one that people can kind of relate to. And this also is the one where, because it's a local prosecutor, for all this talk of two-tier justice systems, I can tell you my experience over 30 years working in and around politics is DOJ and just law enforcement in general
is really always careful about messing with political. Like, you have to cross some real lines. And even in the state of Wisconsin, you know, Scott Walker's trying to compare it to Chisholm, and some of the stuff that Chisholm was doing to me, maybe it was a little out there in terms of how hard they were going at it. But the reality is, if you think about, you know, when we were in the state capitol and Chuck Walla and Scott Jensen and some of those guys got into trouble, I mean, it was pretty, you know, there were a lot of people campaigning on state time for a long period of time.
On both sides of the aisle.
On both sides of the aisle. And a prosecutor finally stepped in and addressed it. But there was they're given a long rope. And so, I don't know. I do think it hits closer to home. And then, I mean, the other thing is you have Brian Schimming and people in Wisconsin mentioned multiple times in the indictment. So there's that.
I mean, that's this weird, not really weird, but just this Wisconsin connection. I believe if I'm quoting correctly in the Georgia indictment, it's referred to as the Wisconsin memo. And we saw this talked about in the January 6th bipartisan committee as well. These emails, these chats between then chairman of the party, Andrew Hitt, and now current executive director of the Republican Party, Mark Jefferson. And then it ends up weaving Brian Schimming, the current chair, who we both know very well, into this. And Schimming apparently was talking to people like Jim Troupas, who was a direct liaison for Trump, in trying to figure out a way to get these false electors legitimized, or to use these false electors in place of legitimate votes and literally steal the Wisconsin election.
Yeah. I mean, you and I were talking about this offline. When it's people that you know, it's always different. And what happened to Troupas?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to understand that. Why these people would go along with it. And then yet, I mean, it does appear based on some of the other stuff that's come out that in Mark and this Hitts case, that they were emailing back and forth, that they knew what they were doing was wrong.
Exactly.
And so at what point do you not just say, this isn't right, I'm not doing it. There's lots of psychological studies about it. As I mentioned to you, the Stanford study is the famous one where people thought they were taking orders from people of authority and, you know, they're torturing people. Mm. They weren't really torturing people, but it was bad enough they shut it down. I don't understand it. But then again, I mean, there's so many people that as you watch this unfold, that you become disappointed with. And I will tell you, having worked around the world, I never thought that I would experience that. But, you know, there were people in Belarusians and Russians and others, when they go into this descent into autocracy, who would say, there's so many people that disappointed me. I kind of get it.
Interesting point, I guess, yesterday, Republican Party held a Zoom presser in advance of President Biden being here to try to spin that a Republican way. And they tried to ask Schimming questions on this. The press did. He only took one and they shut it down. And the spin for the Republican Party of Wisconsin right now is, well, we just wanted to be ready in case the court Hail Mary worked, that we could use this. They're not denying any of this, Trigvi. They're simply saying that if a corrupt Supreme Court would have thrown this the right way, then we could have used these fake electors.
Well, here's the thing. It's I'd like to think that Brian knows that this stuff isn't right, but maybe so. I don't know.
Of course he knows it's right.
They didn't want you and I at the convention. Right. So why didn't they want us there? They don't want the truth. The dirty truth is they didn't want us there because it's uncomfortable, because we ask uncomfortable questions, and they don't like that because they know that in a lot of cases what they're doing is wrong. Brian Schimming knows it's wrong to hold a press conference, take one question, and then when you get uncomfortable questions, turn it down. He knows that. But, you know, they don't want uncomfortable.
It'd be interesting to see if there was a lawyer outside of the camera view in that room.
there is that too, right? I mean, they do, given how many times that Wisconsin appeared in the indictment, I mean, those people have to be a little concerned with the fake electors thing, particularly given what's happening in Michigan. They're going after him.
Yeah. We're going to come back to those side trivia. I want to get your take on this because there's a lot of Democrats, a lot of people who are very elated over this latest indictment and popping some political corks. I think it's premature. I want to talk about that on the other side. Stay with us. Trygve Olson live from Latvia. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, August 16th. It is 1:33. Our regular contributor and friend, Mr. Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Like myself, a former Republican, joins us every Wednesday. He's been so kind to do so again this Wednesday, all the way across the ocean in Latvia. One of our regular listeners, Jeff from Shorewood, on the text line, and you can text us as well via the Civic Media app, says, any hockey going on over there in Latvia and region, Trygve?
Yeah, so I was saying offline, there is. There's the World Junior Championship, and the Latvians are all busy watching that. And I was in Lithuania, which my daughters both have Lithuanian passports, as because my wife is Lithuanian. Mm-hmm. They're all watching basketball there because you've got the World Basketball Championships coming up. And then I will tell you, interestingly enough, and this has changed from when I lived over here a couple of decades ago and even more recently when we lived here, women's soccer has kind of been, it's been a little bit more like the real World Cup. Now, I don't know if that's because it's European teams, you know, they've kind of been dominated, but
That's cool. That's awesome.
So, but yeah, there is hockey going on.
Mr. Zommer, as you had on the, was it the Facebook or the StreamYard, a question there?
Yes. Tony watching through YouTube asks, Chuck Schumer said if a Dem did this, referring to Tuberville blocking all of the military promotions, that he'd get him back in order and that McConnell and Thune should get a handle on Tuberville. What can they do that they haven't?
So I think there's a couple of things going on with that. I think Schumer might be playing a little bit. I mean, McConnell has spoken about Tuberville fairly strongly. You know, the next step becomes more complicated for him, and it's easy for Schumer to spitball a little and say, well, Thune and McConnell should be doing more. I mean, he knows the next step would be to threaten Tuberville with committee assignments being yanked or not raising money for him, except Tuberville represents Alabama, so, like, does it really matter?
But his numbers, not to interrupt, but I saw an article this week, John Trygve. Well, I'm not sure if it's a reliable poll, but some poll in Alabama said that his numbers have gone underwater when asked the question.
I can believe that to be true because remember, I mean, Alabama had the whole, you know, Doug Jones, who was a great guy, Democrat, but seriously moderate Democrat, beat Roy Moore, who is an awful person. And then you had Katie Britt, who just got elected, and she's you know, more sort of McConnell wing. But, you know, I think McConnell's just thinking, like, I got lots of things that I can fight, and Tuberville, like, is just getting crap kicked out of him. If it becomes a serious question for U.S. security, I'll do something. But for the time being, I'm just going to let Tuberville continue to twist on this.
And, of course, if you want to get a hold of Tuberville, you got to go to Florida now. Because I guess the guy lives in Florida, not Alabama, right?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And honestly, well, I mean, yeah. It's not serious. Right. Again, it's just like.
But real people are suffering, and that's the crappy part of it.
Well, and potentially, like, it's impacting the security of the United States and our allies. So, like. It really isn't about the point he's trying to make. You know, it's really about having the tact to go about it the right way.
Right.
And that's part of the problem in our politics is there's just a lot of lines that, well, there was no rule you couldn't cross them. You didn't cross them.
Right.
And all those are off now.
Sad. It's very sad, but true. Give us a call if you'd like to talk to Trigvi or ask him a question. 844-967-2789 is the number to dial. Again, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. And Jack in Merrimack, one of our favorite callers. Jack, what say you, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, we hear you now. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. Ever since about, I think it was 1981, Reagan's the government is the is not the solution, the government's the problem. I think it was his inaugural speech in 81. And the idea of trickle-down economics, I won't call it a theory because a theory depends on evidence. And there is no evidence that trickle-down economics works. But ever since that, and then there was another Republican whose name I forget, who wanted government, and this is a quote, so small you could drown it in the bathtub. The whole purpose of the Republican Party, since their only selling point, their only platform is give away billions and trillions even in welfare tax breaks to the richest and the rich corporations, they don't really have a platform that will appeal to most people. So their idea is, and this is going towards what Tuberville is doing, break the government and then blame the Democrats, and especially do that as much as you can while the Democrats have any power at all. So, you know, Tuberville, you know, we're missing all of our, basically all of our heads of military. And what's going to, you know, likely going to happen is whoever the Republican candidate is, if this continues, he's going to say, oh, commander-in-chief, he's not doing anything. So, you know, and they're threatening now to, I think there's a September 30th deadline when you have to have a new budget. They're threatening to do basically nothing on that. You know, the whole idea is, you know, again, break as much of the government and in this case, as much of the country as possible and say, oh, Democrats, they're in power.
Right.
They really aren't, of course, because of the
split Congress
in the Senate. Yeah. Yep.
No, I totally agree. Jack, great call. Always love you calling in. Thanks so much, Jack, for listening up there in Merrimack. Trigvi, what say you?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jack's point is a good one. I think here's the thing that Jack needs to understand, though, and listeners. And it's been enlightening for me, having spent my life in Republican politics and then transitioning right for the time being to try and help Democrats, right? Because democracy depends on that. Here's the thing. Republicans build narratives around fear while Democrats spend time talking about policies and individual constituencies. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what Republicans are constantly doing, and you're just taught that in Republican politics, you build narratives. Narratives tend to be built around fears, and part of the reason we have some of the autocratic swing that we have on the right is they've become completely conditioned to fear-based grievance politics. And the truth of the matter is, if you go back to the Reagan Revolution, right, like, you know, Reagan's quote was, the solutions to our current problems, government isn't the solution, it's the problem. And he was, you know, a lot of those grievances, some of which were legitimate back in 1980, were addressed, most of them. And so the Republican Party is a party, and I bet Stuart talked about this last week, that really achieved, and the conservative movement achieved most of the things they set out to do, and then they ran out of stuff to do, and then they became devoid of ideas. And honestly, anybody who follows Scott Walker on Twitter, I love bagging on Scott Walker, but anybody who follows him, he's the ultimate example of this. He's just like this Generation X guy who wanted to be an elected official at Badger Boys State and whatever. And, you know, he's still talking about Lafler curves, and Reagan taught us that if you cut taxes, you grow revenue. That's not what they were saying.
Right.
It's just dumb. It's not, you know.
But I think to your point, I mean,
I don't know what he learned in college. I don't know if, you know, maybe he didn't get through college.
I don't think he did. Oh, I don't think he did.
Yeah,
I don't think he did.
Anyway. But no, I
maybe
think
I'll see Scott next week. That would be exciting.
Wouldn't it be fantastic? We'd love to have the former governor come on the show. I doubt that he will, but we'd love to have him come on. He's welcome.
Rick or I would be happy to debate him. I don't know how we'd debate someone like that.
But I think Stuart was on last week, and I can't recommend this book enough. It's called It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. And it's cathartic for me. It's great. And to Jack's point, this whole idea that all government is the problem, and you're right, it's a narrative, right? And when you and I were coming up, Trigvi, we all remember Scott Scooter Jensen, who became the speaker, and he was infamous for telling his caucus, people who were going to run as Republicans in Wisconsin in the assembly, he would tell them in private. He would say, remember this, every story needs a villain and every story needs a hero. And it's as simple as that. And that's this narrative that Republicans, whether you like it or not, have been very successful in doing, creating a good versus bad, using fear. And to Stuart's point, you know, not all, but a lot of it was bunk.
Yeah, they were, you know, I mean, it is. Tommy Thompson used to always say, you know, two kinds of politicians, those who want to do and those who want to be. And we have a bunch of politicians, very few who want to do, a whole lot who want to be. And there's become a whole cottage industry where you go to Congress and you're basically like raising your profile on Fox and whatever, and you get a lucrative contract as a Fox News contributor. And let's face it, like as Rachel Campos shows, you don't have to be that bright on Fox to make $500,000 a year, apparently.
I guess that's very true.
You can be dumber than a post. And I literally, for those who are listening who are on the right and they're like, oh, Rachel Campos stuffy, but I mean, she literally, your eyeballs are paying her, you know, contract. And like, why is she on there? Not quite sure, other than she was in The Real World and I don't know.
So is Sean Pedro Duffy, but you know, he was
Pedro Sean or Puck or somebody, I don't know.
If you'd like to call in a question for Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You're welcome to join the conversation. Also can send us a text on the Civic Media app. Again, the number is 844-967-2789. Trigvi, I want to get back to this Trump indictment just for a moment to cover this because I want your take on this. Again, watching CNN the night that this went down a couple nights ago, I got to give some credit to former Trump White House communication director, Alyssa Farah Griffin. I don't know her. You might know of her or know who she is. But, you know, she made the point that, you know, if and I don't, you know, fine, she's, you know, turning the page to make money. I don't care. Well, here's what she said, in paraphrasing. If this guy gets back in, he's not going to put people into office who are qualified. If you thought last time was bad, next time is going to be even worse, and he will take this country down little by little. The point is you cannot trust this guy, and the point I loved about this and that your boss at Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson, has made is that this is great that the court system is doing its job. That should be celebrated. But all those who are popping corks thinking, oh, we got him, this is going to be the end of Trump and Trumpism, I am still convinced that we have to defeat Trump and Trumpism at the ballot box and not simply at the courts, because there's no guarantee he's going to get the conviction.
The only way that he is going to be defeated and that Trumpism can start rolling back is electoral defeat. And it's got to be overwhelming enough that it repudiates. That is the only thing that is going to kill this, and it is going to take a while to successfully do that. Now, that said, what does that mean? You know, I was on a call earlier today where I was asked that question. To me, it's going to mean that Donald Trump's opponent wins not just an electoral college victory and a popular vote victory, but that it's multiple states, so that Donald Trump can't just say, well, they cheated in Wisconsin.
Right.
Trust me, it's going to start with Wisconsin. If it's just Wisconsin that decides the thing, and you could flip Wisconsin or Michigan or a bunch of states, it's going to be absolute chaos. It has to be multiple states like it was last time. The reason why the fraud is basically been uncovered is they were having to do this in so many places that there was no way for them to really successfully do this. But, you know, that is the only way that this is going to be stopped. And on both sides, we have to start sending serious people. And that's sometimes going to mean that if you're on the right or left, you don't get who you want.
We shall see. I'm going to come back on the other side of the break, preview the Republican debate happening here in Wisconsin and Milwaukee next week. Trevy will be live in Milwaukee with his boss, Rick Wilson, as well. Talk about that and more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Lavoie Show. And also live from Latvia, Trevy Olson on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lavoie Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, our ongoing contributor, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and Wisconsin native, Green Bay Packer owner, Trygve Olson, joins us live from Latvia. We appreciate him making the effort to join us. We always love having you, Trygve. Love your insight as well. Apparently our background conversation was going out instead of the ads. So that's why we had a little elevator music.
Here's the thing. I recommend for anyone who is listening of a certain age.
Yeah.
Like, if you have not watched the Wham documentary on Netflix, you should watch it. And I was completely skeptical when somebody suggested this to me, but it is the most amazing documentary.
Really?
Because everything that you think you know about Wham and how Andrew Ridgely, the other guy in Wham, was just lucky and went along for the ride with George Michael, that's not the story at all.
You know,
it's so crazy.
Documentaries about bands are some of my favorite movies I've ever seen. And I didn't have plans for tonight, so I think now I do.
There you go. Well, Trygve Olson.
I can't wait to talk to you about it. In fact, in Milwaukee, we will have an independent conversation offline about it. But for people, seriously, it's like really, really good on so many levels.
Not only does he know politics, but he's the Siskel and Ebert of the Todd Lavoie Show.
I was watching it and I got thinking about Aaron always playing the George Michael's intro. And actually, there was an article in Vanity Fair on the Four Models and the Freedom, that song.
Really?
And how it created the whole supermodel thing. Yeah, wow. Cindy Crawford, Christy Turlington. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway.
Look at that. Trendsetters.
Anyway, we digress.
It's fine. A little tangent here. That's fine. We have the Republican debate coming up next Wednesday. Trygve, you and Rick Wilson have been so gracious to come out here. You're going to be joining us here live in Milwaukee. I want to get back to something you said earlier, and that is that Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, a Republican, responded to Trump's promise of, quote unquote, an irrefutable report on the presidential election fraud, which took place in Georgia. And Kemp said this. He said, quote, the 2020 election in Georgia was not stolen. For nearly 3 years now, anyone with evidence of fraud has failed to come forward under oath and prove anything in a court of law. Unquote. I agree with you. This could be a big point if Republicans still choose other Republican candidates next week in Milwaukee.
Well, see, here's the thing. We're going to see a bunch of people go on that stage and just smooch away at Donald Trump's posterior. But what Kemp did is he gave them something to hit Trump with. And we'll see who, you know, Chris Christie will take advantage of it. I don't get the sense that Tim Scott or Nikki Haley probably will. Ron DeSantis, I mean, I don't know what he's doing.
What about Pence? Because I saw
Pence might hit him.
Pence said today something, after this thing from Kemp came out, Pence kind of did his own iteration saying, look, there's no evidence that the Georgia election was stolen. And then, of course, he turns it back to himself. And I did not have the authority to do whatever on January 6th.
Yes. And actually, I could see Pence at this point just saying, what do I have to lose?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, really? He's already tried to take my wife. You wonder if Mike Pence is ever the guy in a bar who like turns to the other patron and says, you know, I had this job and my boss was trying to kill me.
Right. It was.
But Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they and we'll talk about this obviously beforehand, but you know, so when you're sitting in the strategic side of getting ready for one of these, it's usually like whack-a-mole. You're trying to, whoever's popping up, you're whacking. But Trump's not going to show up. He's so far out ahead. And I kind of think they all are making a strategic calculation. If I can just get one-on-one with Trump, that's my best shot. And they've all kind of tried to take different lanes in doing that. I don't know. You know, I mean, the initial reaction that everybody had was they're going to go in trying to attack DeSantis. But since Ron DeSantis, you know,
he's imploding.
Looked at Scott Walker's campaign and said, "Here, hold my beer." like now, I'm not sure that's who they're going to go after. So. Yeah.
I mean, so you don't think Trump's going to show? I still think there's a chance Trump shows, but maybe crazy. Yeah. No, you don't think so.
He won't show. Too much. No. He. Here's the thing. Like, if you're sitting where Trump is, you can pick your time and place, and he doesn't have to show. What happens if you know he gives up 5 percentage points? He's still ahead by 55.
Right.
So he's better off to let them all whack each other, I think. It will be interesting to see. I mean, Rick obviously will have he knows DeSantis inside and out, being a Florida guy. So, yeah.
He just fired his campaign manager last week.
I mean, yeah, and then he, the person he brought in has absolutely zero presidential campaign experience. It would be like, you know, Matt LaFleur saying, "Well, we got rid of Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love's not working out. I think I'll have, I don't know.
Todd Allgaier, going to, or whoever.
Yeah. Todd Allgaier, play quarterback.
Right.
Right. Exactly. I mean, yeah. People don't get that. Like, it's a pretty small circle of people that have the capability to run a presidential campaign, a major presidential campaign, and serve at senior levels. Like, it's a specific skill set.
Let's go to the phones quickly. We got Dick in Madison. Dick, just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Dick, what's your question for Trigvi, please?
Well, it's just an observation when you talk about Walker and he still hero worships Reagan, and that's all fine. And I've got some Republican friends that do too. And the one that used to crack me up the most, though, is this, that he ended the Cold War. And I said, well, I think Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Nixon, Ford and Carter before him might have had a little something to do with that, seeing as though I looked at it as kind of a war of attrition, and they just spent themselves into the ground. And he happened to be sitting in the chair when it happened. I'm not saying that he did have anything to do with it, but I'm kind of tired of hearing that it was all him. And we did some work years back that cracked me up in the Republican headquarters in Madison. Not a picture of Dwight Eisenhower in the place could I find.
Right. Good observation. Dick, appreciate the call. Trigvi, you know that area of the world better than anybody that I know, Eastern Europe. What say you?
Well, I mean, Americans prevailed in part in the Cold War. And quite frankly, I mean, if you were to talk to my wife, who's at 19 years old, was standing looking in the turret of a Soviet tank that was pointed at her, she would say that Lithuanians and Latvians and Poles and all those people who stood up and demanded freedom and risked their lives for it won the Cold War. So, I mean, I don't know. The Cold War, there were lots of people. Kennedy, I mean,
right.
All of them.
Yeah, a cumulative effort for sure. About 30 seconds left. Any last thoughts before we let you go?
It's going to be fascinating when we're out at that debate. I really hope people turn in. We're going to have a lot to talk about because there's a lot going on with it.
6 to 8 next Wednesday night, live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin Decides 2024. Rick Wilson and our friend
jet lag.
Trigvi Olson, we'll see you there, my friend. Thank you. Safe travels. Stay with us. More on the other side after this.